Morning. Let's turn your Bibles, book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. A few things from the public reading. The Lord does provide for His people, doesn't He? One thing consistent throughout the Scriptures, God reminds us that He will take care of those who are living for Him. And sometimes, you know, it kind of goes along with some of the things we were talking about on Wednesday night, but this woman's pretty impressive, too. You know, Elijah says, hey, give me, share with me. He says, man, I got nothing left. We're down to our last little tiny bit. He said, trust me, share with me, and God will take care of you. And she did. And we follow through the whole story, and God continued to take care of her, even in the moment when maybe it didn't look like it. And guys, that's the way the Lord operates. In the body of Christ, He wants us to bring what we have, and to give what we have, and to share with one another what we have. And God will, He provides, doesn't He? He always does. And so that's a great reminder to all of us. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed the R&R today. That Rich and Roger, that was some good stuff. Man, encouragement from both of them about sowing the seed and what we're doing, what our purpose is, and then to make sure that what we're doing is what the Lord wants. And man, I just super encouraged you guys this morning. And then I'm going to say this too, that if you're missing out on Sunday school class, I will tell you, it is some of the stuff that we're covering is not easy stuff. Like, you have to have your brain engaged, and you come in at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, or 9:15 by the time opening's over, and you might be thinking, I'm tired, a long week. Hey, this is the start of a new week. And we bring the first fruits to the Lord, amen? And there are some things in there that'll push your thinking. You gotta stay engaged. It's not all easy stuff to follow. But doesn't the book of Hebrews encourage us and exhort us to grow up into maturity? There are some things that for us to take it to the next level personally, we gotta grow. And you're not always gonna grow by motivational speeches. You're gonna grow by getting into some of the meat of the Word of God and understanding how that relates to your life. And there's some really good stuff that was covered this morning. I'm gonna manage to probably tie into the message this morning. But it's good. It's good stuff. And even if you think today, what is it? I get this question from school kids sometimes. When am I ever going to use this in my life? Like chemistry. I mean, come on, really? Balancing equations? Like, when am I ever going to use this? Why do I have to do this? And, depending on the student, sometimes I say, I don't know if you'll ever use that. But, hey, stuff in the Word of God, guys, you will use this. Okay? There are times you're gonna need this. And so every line of the Word of God, that song that we sang this morning, I remember every line from the Word of God. That's true. Each faithful saying mine, right? All right, Romans chapter 5. Let's pick it up this morning in verse 6. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, and we'll read through verse 11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Lord, You are an amazing God. It is, I don't know what, Lord, the word that comes to my mind, it is shocking. It is shocking to consider how much You care for me. How much You care for every individual. Lord, knowing us at our very worst, knowing us in the rebellion and individual level that we would commit against you, and as a human race as a whole, the revolting against you and your ways and your righteousness. And yet you loved us. You loved the world and gave your only begotten Son. Lord, how beautiful that is. We're thankful for the message of the cross. It does communicate your love and your mercy. And Lord, we're thankful that the story doesn't end there. That not only did Jesus go to the cross, but you raised him from the dead. And you seated him on the throne in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named. And it is on the throne that Jesus lives, always living to make intercession on our behalf. Lord, your plan is perfect. And we're thankful. Our hearts are overflowing with gratitude for what you've done for us. I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that you would help me to communicate clearly from the scriptures these thoughts. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Before I launch in, there was one other thing I did want to say. If you haven't got a chance to meet Kendall, he's the guy over there in the yellow shirt, and I really like his attitude and the thought that he put into becoming a Christian. And he's believed in the Lord for a long time and confessed Jesus as Lord for a long time. And from what I know, the being willing to think the way God thinks for a long time, he just hadn't seen some of it. But he's an honest guy, willing to look at the scriptures, say, what does it say? And brother, this is something, an example, some of us that are here this morning aren't Christians yet. As an example for us, hey, be honest about what the Bible says. And some of us who are Christians, it's a reminder to us. You know, the Scripture speaks of the good soil. Those who hear the Word of God and receive it with a good and honest heart. We're the ones who bear fruit with perseverance. Amen? So, hey, welcome your brother in Christ. Get to know him. And there's a great example for us there. All right, back to Romans chapter 5. You know, it is important as we're working through this message, the book of Romans, this message of faith. Faith is superior to the law. The law kills. The Spirit gives life. The ministry of the Spirit is a system of faith, not of law. The ministry of righteousness is a system of faith, not one of law. And so as God, the Holy Spirit, is driving into us what it means to actually live by faith. That's what the book of Romans is about. That's really what the New Testament is about. That's really what all of Scripture is about. And so it's important that we remember what Christ has done for us. Verse 6 that we opened with, while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God's timing is perfect. I like what Roger alluded to, because sometimes those are my words to God and my prayer and my thoughts is, you know, please, God, please, please, and I'm going to hurry and this is my time and God, could you please do this? You know, I'd appreciate that. Lord, you know I'm waiting on your will, but hurry, please, hurry, please. God has a perfect sense of timing, doesn't he? At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. All those thousands of years that God put into place in the Old Testament, they were important. They were essential. They were leading up to the right time. All the stuff, we don't have time to go into the history of that today. But the Jewish captivity and following even, God was setting the stage so that when Jesus came, there was a people that was biblically literate. They understood at least what the Scriptures had said had concerning this coming Messiah. There was particularly among the Jews an expectation awaiting for a Messiah. Now we understand most people rejected him. But the ones who God's looking for, acknowledged and understood. And we see from that, boom, the whole world. God had set things up. And, you know, it's interesting. You look at the Bible, and it's not really a history book. It's a history of God's people and God's plan. That's what the history of the Bible is. And you even look at the Gentile world. God had things set in place that as Christianity springs up out of that foundation of Judaism, God did a couple things. And one of the things He had, where Jerusalem was and where all the courts were and the trade that was going up, this message was going to explode into the Gentile world. God knew what He was doing. And it was the perfect time. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At an individual level, it says, while we were still helpless. Steal from the book of Ezekiel, we were squirming in our blood. We weren't going to live. It's God's ICU. At the right time, while we were helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. We were powerless to make ourselves right. And I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but it is important. One of the things that Kevin was teaching in his class this morning, you know, that there is a price that has to be paid for sin. There is blood, 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 blood. What is that communicating? Okay, ultimately, it's going to communicate the love that God has for us, but at the same time, the price that absolutely has to be paid for sin. And God's going to make sure there is no confusion about this. God does not like sin. God does love the sinner. He communicated that. We're gonna work on that. But God doesn't like sin. God came to rescue us from that sin, to save us. He's a Savior. It's who He is. And it's what He does. And so there was this huge chasm, the distance from hell to heaven. And, you know, I don't know about you guys or a picture I get in my... I mean, this thing is... I don't know how much you think about this, but to consider on your own making it from hell to heaven, impossible. That's a system of works. You think you can do that? Go for it. And you know what? At the very best, you're going to be one of those little... Why am I thinking gerbil? But, you know, the little guys on the treadmill going and going and going and getting absolutely nowhere. Your whole life going as hard as you possibly can. We're going to get into Romans chapter 9. We're going to see the Jews. It wasn't a lack of effort. These guys were working and working and working and going and going and going. And they're on that treadmill. And maybe they're staying skinny, but they're getting nowhere. We were helpless. This chasm. And Christ died for us to bridge that gap. So you got to think about this. He said, one will hardly die for a righteous man. Though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. In all honesty, who would you die for? I mean, easy to say. Yeah, got your back. Who would you really die for? You know, maybe in the foxhole, the other people that have been sacrificing with you, alongside you, and we have examples. Hey, I'll jump on the grenade. I mean, there is something about battle buddies, right? And you've been through stuff together, and you've sacrificed. Yeah, well, you see that. I'll die for you. Let me take that grenade. Your family? Most of us? I said most. Most of us would probably be willing to die for our family. Our loved family members. Maybe someone we respect a lot. We say, hey, your life's more valuable than mine. I'd trade that out for you. Hey, you can do more for the Lord. You can do, you know, whatever. Maybe we make that trade. How about for your neighbor? Recently, this last week, I was parking a car in front of one of my neighbor's places, and I got a little note saying, you know, please be respectful. I don't ever see him around. I went over and knocked on the door trying to apologize. And they're right. I wasn't intentionally being disrespectful, but I was inconsiderate. And it came across as disrespectful, so I want to do what I can to make that right. But I don't know these people. They're seemingly never around. Would I die for them? Really? I mean, that's parking in front of their place without asking permission. Would I die for them? How about your coworker? Yeah, the person that talks about you behind your back as soon as you leave. The homeless person. Guys, think about this for a second. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. I saw a line this week and I liked it. It says, where have you ever heard of the hero who dies for the villain? That's my God. It's like, I like that. The hero willing to die for me, the bad guy, the enemy. The cross communicates a lot of things, guys. And I think it's a call for everybody. The mercy of God. God could have just zapped everybody. He didn't. He sent His Son. But above all, the cross communicates love. So God demonstrates His own love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, it's been said that it wasn't the nails that held Jesus on that cross. It was His love for us. And I agree with that. By Jesus' own words. Hey, guys, you don't think I could call 12 legions of angels? Right? To come down. Jesus didn't need help getting off the cross. You know, hey, if you're the Christ, come on down, save yourself. No, because He is the Christ. And because He is the Savior, He didn't come down off the cross. He has love for us that kept Him there. And there's a saying, and I think there's even some sort of godly song out there that says, love is a verb. And that's really true. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, in English it comes across as love is patient. But the Greek, these are action sort of things. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. One of my favorite series I ever got to preach was through this. Because, man, there's a lot of good stuff of what love really is and what love does. Bottom line, anybody can say they love. That's where I'm going with this. Anybody can say, I love you. But ultimately, that love is shown through sacrifice. Hey, spring's coming. How many spring weddings are there going to be? How many summer weddings? And how many people are going to say, I love you? How many people are going to make it through the first 2 years? The first 5 years? The first 10 years? Love is easy to say. A lot tougher to actually do. Love, real love, is shown through sacrifice. See, you can say anything. You can write anything. You can write a book about anything. You know, you guys have heard this one, right? This book that I wrote recently, it's called Humility and How I Achieved It. I want you to think about that for a second. Humility and How I Achieved It, right? I think that the title is pretty telling. You can say anything, but doing is quite different. And so, in love, you know, you can write love letters, and I'm not against that. Guys, it might be a nice idea to write some of those lovey-doveys to your wife every now and then. Okay. That's for you married guys. Yeah. Unmarried guys, stay away from them. You know, the lovey-dovey notes and the poems and etc. You know, back in my day, there's the movie Robin Hood, and Kevin Costner was in it, and you know, I always remember it because Julie can do this to me. Robin Hood's there, and he's going, and I mean, this guy's a perfect shot, and Miriam blows on his ear right when he's, and he misses, you know, the arrow. But he recovers, pulls another one out, brings it right back on the track. But anyways, the theme song I remember in there was basically, everything I do it for you. And there's this line in there, I'd lie for you. I'd die for you. No, guys, love doesn't lie. 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, it rejoices with the truth. If love, in quotation marks here, love, quote unquote, is lying, that's not love, that's something else. But true love is willing to die. And so, in real relationships, we show love by dying to ourselves. I'm not going to tell you the example of a poem that I wrote way back in my day. It was, I got to admit, it was a really good poem. And it had some amazing effects. But, and I've written Julie a few poems, but I never come up with another one as good as that one. And it wasn't to her, unfortunately. But you know what? That's not love. Love is 20 years of sacrifice together. Love is being willing to die every day to yourself. Those are things we understand. Guys, God did something a lot more for us. While we were yet sinners, He died. He stretched out His arms and said, I love you. Your love is more than words. Another song that I like from Michael W. Smith that said, love isn't love until you give it away. Because Jesus gave it away. God demonstrated. He showed His love by sending Jesus to die for us. I'm glad, you know, we got a book. We got a love letter. And this thing is a love letter. It's amazing. And you ever wonder how much God cares for you? Open this book and start reading it. I would suggest New Testament. That's the frame of mind you're in, myself. But, you know, God loves you. But God didn't just write the letter. God did. The letter is in communication with that. God has done. Back to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 verse 9 says, much more than having now been justified by His blood. I just want to spend a couple minutes on justified by His blood. Earlier in this chapter, it says that we've been justified by faith. Here it says we're justified by Jesus' blood. I'm just going to hit this one more time. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Declared righteous is the way Mr. Hopper would say that from the Rotherhams, I think, and from the Greek. Declared righteous. This is what justified means. God says we're righteous. Last week we talked about the importance of our faith in that. You aren't going to be declared righteous apart from faith. It's our faith that God looks at and says, I'm declaring you righteous, because we can't even talk about faith without talking about blood. The blood of Christ. What would we believe in? Who would we believe in? What could we put our trust in? What could we put our confidence in? Where would our heart go? To what? To whom? It's by His blood that we're justified. Jesus paid that price that we could never pay. The sacrifice that He made. Because we're Christians. And most of us here are. Some of us aren't yet. But, and so, you know, the cross, and I'll get there momentarily, is not the forward focus of the Christian. But it is a good reminder. There are some things that God wants to remind us of. He's building up here in the book of Romans. We're seeing a lot of this in the early chapters, remembering what Christ has done. It's important. You know, the sacrifice that Jesus made to picture this in your mind. You don't have to go watch the Passion of the Christ. If you'll actually read the Gospel of John and think about it, envision it, slow it down in your mind. Consider what actually took place. Huge, huge sacrifice, justified by His blood. Here's what I want to communicate. And maybe you need to watch the Passion of Christ to help you get a picture of that. But here's what I want to communicate. This is the price that had to be paid so you and I could be justified. It's not like God looked around and said, let's try this one. This is the only way it could happen. You know, Mel Gibson, when he had an interview with Diane Sawyer sometime after, I believe, after The Passion of Christ came out, and one of the questions she asked him, that most of it he did pretty well, but there was a question that she asked him, I didn't like his response. There were some things earlier she was trying to pin him on, and he was like, read the Gospel of John, Diane, it's in there. I like that answer. But she said, are you saying that the only people that are going to make it to heaven are Christians? And he said, I'm not saying that, Diane. We're all God's children. He said, come on. It's in the Gospel of John, Diane. Read it. Okay? But one of the things that he did say, he said, I'm saying that's the only way I could make it there. Now, guys, Mel Gibson's a Catholic. He's not even a true Christian. But that idea, though, he is right. The reality of it is, that's the only way I could make it to heaven. It's the only way you can make it to heaven. It's the only way anybody could make it to heaven. What Jesus went through, there was no other way. There was no shortcut. There was no devaluing that. One of the things that I hate in our world is the way everything gets devalued. It starts with our currency and we'll just go from there. Makes everything worthless, cheap. The blood of Christ is not cheap. He went through that for us because of His love for us. Excuse me. No other way. We talked about this before. Romans chapter 3. We're not going to go there this morning, but verses 21 through 26. A price had to be paid for sin. God's justice was met at the cross. His love, His mercy, His holiness, His justice, His righteousness, they met there at the cross. Jesus died for us so we could be righteous. And I got to be honest with you. I still have a tough time wrapping my mind around that kind of love. God wants me to. Because we love because He first loved us. Amen? Like, I'm not going to love the way Christ loved unless I do wrap my mind around that. I got to slow it down and think about what Jesus went through. The shame that He went through for me. The pain that He went through for me. And when I say me, I want you to think you. The hatred of people that He endured on my behalf. And He did that because this is what He's saying. I love you. I want you to make it. Lots of other religions out there. Lots of other philosophies out there. You show me one example of somebody who was willing to do what Jesus did to bring about salvation. I mean, for one thing, nobody else could. They were imperfect themselves. But any of these other things, there's the hook, there's the what's in it for me. Jesus gave that up. All of that up. He left His place of glory and He went through this for you and for me. I personally, guys, I can't thank God enough for that. That's good. Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than, having now been justified by His blood, we should be saved from the wrath of God through Him. You got to think about this for a second. As mind-blowing as all the stuff we talked about is, there's more. And the Scripture actually says much more. Because of Jesus' death, guess what? I stand here before you today with a clean conscience. Because Jesus died for me. That's pretty amazing. Really amazing. Peace with God. We talked about that last week. What could be better than that? Scripture says something much more. Much more. What would that be? Hey guys, as good as it is to be a Christian, our future eternity with the Lord, you're going to blow this away. The things that we get to experience the best of this life in Christ, we still experience by faith. There's a day that sight, spiritual sight, is coming. We get to spend eternity in the presence of God. I want you to notice what the Scripture says here. It's not because of what Jesus did. It's because of who Jesus is, now. Pretty important shift here. When the Scripture says much more, it should make you pause and say, what is the Bible emphasizing here that I need to get a hold of? Now, I'm going to tell you this. If I have a hard time wrapping my mind around the love that God communicated in a physical example, that I could understand at a physical level, this spiritual side of it is going to be tough to grasp. But this is the much more. And it is worth your time. It is worth your effort to come to know the God who is. You might actually have to drag yourself out of bed on Lord's Day morning at 8 o'clock to get here in time for Sunday school class. I mean, if that's important to you. Much more. This isn't just the surface part of Christianity. This is who Jesus now is. Think about this. What does Jesus' crucifixion mean apart from His resurrection? I think His crucifixion is amazing. Guys, apart from His resurrection, it's insufficient, isn't it? The blood that dripped from Calvary, in no way am I diminishing that. Every single person has to go to the cross. You gotta be there, and you gotta to fall down on your face before the cross of God. You have to meet the blood of Christ. We'll get to where that happens in Romans chapter 6. You have to go there. But you don't stay there. That's the sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be made. But you know, the Scripture has another word that's different than sacrifice. It's called offering. The sacrifice was made on the hill of Calvary. The offering was made in the Holy of Holies in heaven. Much more. In case you're not picking up on this, look at verse 10 with me of Romans 5. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, there it is again, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And Mr. Simpson been talking a little bit about atonement. We haven't got to the mercy seat yet, really, to talk about the... But he's set the stage already, propitiatory. Okay, atonement. There's something called the mercy seat. Guys, there is the real mercy seat. You can read about this in Hebrews chapter 9. Please don't take my word for it. Okay? It is the consummation of the ages was not the cross. And it wasn't even Jesus standing next to the empty tomb. It is Jesus who took His seat on the throne after He made purification of sins. Jesus went there into the true holy place, and He offered Himself, His spiritual blood, on that spiritual holy place to make the purification for our sins. And Jesus now continues to live as a high priest, making intercession on our behalf. Mr. Simpson even alluded to this. 1 John chapter 2, you know, talks about the fact that my little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Have an advocate. That's the Jesus who's alive right now. The helper, the intercessor, the high priest. Now some of you say, I don't know what in the world you're talking about. You don't understand the much more. You need to dig in. This is important. Much more. We're saved by His life. We're reconciled through His death. We talked about how big of a deal that is. But much more, we're saved by His life. So I want you to just think about it in these terms for a second. If God was willing to reconcile His enemies through the death of His Son, how much more is He willing to save His friends through the intercession of our glorified High Priest? I'm just going to use Kendall as an example. Kendall's now the friend of God. And there's a song out there. I don't remember where it was. I heard it. Jesus, friend of sinners. Now I want you to just understand this first thing. While Jesus was on earth, was Jesus willing to go and eat with tax gatherers and sinners? Yes, he absolutely was, wasn't he? He communicating that he did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But Hebrews chapter 7 says something very interesting. It says, our high priest, it is fitting that our high priest, and he goes on to describe him, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners. Guys, the high priest, Jesus Christ, is not a friend of sinners. The high priest, Jesus Christ, is a friend of the family. The death was there so that we could be reconciled, so that we could switch from being enemies to being friends. But Jesus' role as Savior is for His people, the church. We are saved by His life. The work of Jesus Christ as High Priest is for His people, the church. Sometimes we hear about this, that the finished work of Christ on the cross, that's not scriptural. The work that Jesus worked on earth, where He could say, it's finished, that's on the cross. But that is not the finished work of Jesus. Much more were saved by His life. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Just every time I get to this section, I got to read this. Romans 8, verses 31 through 34. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? If that doesn't make you overflow with gratitude, we got to check your spiritual heart condition. See if it's got a pulse. Verse 32, He did not spare His own Son, but delivered it up for us all. We saw that. That's while we were yet sinners. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. You see the analogy there? Much more. We're saved by His life. Christ Jesus, He died. That's true. The reconciliation. No, rather, He was raised. Who's at the right hand of God, who lives to make intercession on our behalf. That's the much more. That's the life by which we're saved. And the communication of this. We talk about the grace of God. Because you and I have the grace of God. All the resources of heaven, the backing of heaven. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the High Priest. Anything we need, how will He not also freely give us all things? God wants you to make it. God wants me to make it. Some of us got the wrong mentality and we think God's up there just waiting for us to make a mistake and zap us. And go back to the cross and see if you still think that. Then move on. Move on to what Jesus is doing for you right now. He doesn't leave us as a black-hearted sinner. We are born again. He calls us His saints, and He gives us everything we need to live by Him and for Him and through Him. Amen? All right, let's see.